Do you like the Star Wars? Well, you've come to the right place because this is the Rancor Pit, the home of Star Wars on the Jedi Cult Universe, with my illustrious co-host,
Eddie Medina.
There you are. And
yeah,
course,
yeah,
I'm Cole Houston. Well, we played a little joke on Eddie earlier.
Sipping
so.
Some tea and sipping my galactic tea over here. Oh. I don't know what that means. Sorry.
It means that Lando put you onto it, just like he put, like Luke put him onto hot chocolate.
Hot chocolate as he was crossing through the Silly Rabbit Nebula.
And if you're wondering what that's all about, read the first, I don't remember what the name of the damn thing was. But the
Lando Calrissian and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull or something
like
that.
Oh, that's right. No, it's Lando Calrissian and the Saucerman from Mars.
Oh, that's what it is. Yeah. Speaking of saucermen from Mars, we have a guest
with
us.
Oh, yes, we do have a guest with us who is an illustrious saucerman from Mars.
Uh-huh.
None other than the one, the only, Bobby Blakey.
Hello.
So, join us from your planet, and whereas E.T., the tip of his finger lights up, you don't want to know what the tip on Bobby lights up.
It's just the tip.
That's a whole other show we'll be doing next week.
That's right. So welcome to the Rancor Pit not live version.
Yeah, yeah.
This is the first
time
we
haven't... Wait a minute, I thought I was live here.
Yeah, well, that's what we told you to lure you into the show. But if you're familiar with the Rancor Pit Live and even Hey Kids Comics Live, you've seen Bobby, and for the first time we're not subjecting you to that.
Congratulations.
So with that in mind... Tonight's episode is Star Wars Fandom at Random, because like the Hey Kids Comics recorded show, the latest issue of Hey Kids Comics, the latest episode of this, we're still recovering from AllCon. We're still trying to get our everything back to normal, so we're still not 100% back to where we were prior to AllCon.
Me even more so, because I'm coming off of AllCon and the Heart of Texas Comic Con.
So, if it helps, yeah. I was hurting before AllCon ever started.
Don't be a baby.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, actually, yeah, Bobby, who you may know from the martial arts, the Kung Fools episode of...
How fitting.
Yes, indeed. It's aptly named. Episode of Hey Kids Comics Live, you may remember, is... does so much beating up of people that eventually parts of you start worrying themselves off.
Yeah,
it's like when you take a piece of yeah, that's right. When you take a coat hanger and just keep messing with it, eventually it snaps apart. And that's pretty much
actually. I just stick a coat hanger on one side, so I have like a clothes hanger for an arm, and then I have my other regular arm.
Wow, people are.
But only one people hand.
It's a coat hanger with a people hand on the end.
Oh, it's like that the new RoboCop movie where he had nothing left but his hand.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, at least Miguel Ferrer had the good sense to lose the arm and given the choice. And then the new guy comes along and it's like, no. But
yeah, I'll put that for a dollar.
That's right. But we're here to talk about the phenomenon that is Star Wars fandom and how it manifests itself, if you will, amongst different individuals, different groups, how the fandom has grown in all the years that we've all been part of Star Wars. You've heard Eddie and I go on at length about our Star Wars fandom. We've talked to Bobby about this before. But there's always more to talk about when it comes to the Star Wars and the fans of the Star Wars. So, what are some of the things that you guys have been personally involved in Star Wars fandom?
Bobby, why don't you go since you're our guest?
Yeah, and because you have probably the most important tale to tell.
Oh, am I supposed to go right into that?
May as well.
I've actually had a few different things.
We're going to be insanely jealous regardless, so...
I might as well get it over
yeah,
with.
Yeah, maybe we'll get that part out of the way so at least we can stop hating you long enough to do the rest of the
exactly.
show.
Exactly. Just get it out there so we can use the rest of the show to bitch about it.
That's right.
Well, before we get into that one, I can tell some other ones, too.
Okay, well,
he's going to prolong it.
Yeah,
exactly. No,
let me build up to the point.
I actually was lucky enough to have a lot of various Star Wars experiences, if you will, besides just, you know, the autographing, you know, getting autographs and doing conventions and stuff, because I got involved with some people that helped bring some of the celebrities in. So over the years, I've actually become friends with a lot of them. So I've had, nowadays everybody has, but at the time it wasn't as common, but being able to go out to dinner, you know, with Peter Mayhew, you know, as a private dinner, as opposed to everybody and their grandmother being there. You know, I got to go to we did a big dinner at Magic Time Machine that had, who was it? Mike Edmonds and, I forgot the guy that played Bosk now. Anyway, and Peter Mayhew again. There was like a whole table for him. We kind of all become friends, and I've become pretty close friends with Daniel Logan, which, if anybody can score him anything he needs, he can probably become his friend. Just saying. Anyway, but.
Hold on. When you went to dinner with Chewie, that should be a movie, Dinner with Chewie. did he have Wookiee floor soup?
He did not.
Apparently, they do not have that on the menu at Magic Time Machine. It's hard to find. There are only three restaurants I know in the Dallas area that have Wookiee floor soup.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying he hasn't had it at this point.
But yeah, he probably hasn't on a regular basis.
At that time, he was still like, you know, it was just the fancy convention people that happened to go, and then like the three people that might have known somebody else.
Yes.
And I got to actually do security for him when they did the 3D releases, when they started putting those out before they pulled the plug on it.
Yeah.
One of the releases, he was doing a signing at the theater, and a friend of mine was kind of his handler, and I actually got to do security, which was really funny because, you know, those of you that know me know I'm not very tall. So it looks like, you know, I'm clearing the path for him through the theater. But I'm
so it's like the Ewok leading the Wookiee.
Yeah, it looks like his child is the path for this 8-foot man, you know.
It's so nice you got your son involved, you know.
Exactly. But but jumping past that, there was a convention too that I got to. I think his last name is it's Philip Wise. Is that his name?
Yeah, Philip Wise. Yeah.
I was lucky enough to get to go to the opening when he debuted his Wookiee workshop after it was remodeled. At one of the conventions, they only brought the celebrities and some of the con people. So we were brought and we got to go down there. And one of the most entertaining things I've ever gotten to do is, and I always forget his last name. His name's Barry
White.
No, not Barry White. This is a Star Wars person. Stick on topic, sir. He played
Bonds. Baseball?
No, not Barry Bonds. It doesn't matter. Anyway, he was in. I believe he's a
Barry rebel. Allen, the Flash.
No. He was one of the Imperial officers, I believe, in Return of the Jedi, that has the line outside of the on the moon of Endor.
Is he the U Rebel scum guy?
Yeah. He's that guy. That's his only claim to fame. But I got.
Oh, that's Barry Scum.
Okay, yeah, that's what we'll call him.
But, I'm sure he'll be thrilled.
He's an awesome guy, but we were on the way back, you know, they had an open margarita machine, and he was plastered.
Yeah.
I won't go into detailed conversations because there's some things that nobody should know that he told me, but it was like an hour and a half drive.
Did he show you his lightsaber?
No, but he showed me pictures that I'm not going to explain.
Of his lightsaber?
There was a stack of pictures and stories that they're likely considered illegal in some places.
Oh,
so,
boy.
So
wow.
That's a highly drunk individual talking to me.
Did they have to deal with shaved Ewoks or anything?
I wish it had been that simple. I'll have to tell y'all off the air at some point.
Okay.
All right. Fair enough.
Anyway, it was just really funny because listen, this guy drunk. But the funniest part of that whole thing is that was on Saturday night. So Sunday morning at the convention, I go to say hi to him, and he's like, "My name is Barry so and so." He doesn't even remember me.
What?
Because he was so plastered. And he remembered me throughout the day of being at the con, but he did not remember us having this conversation. And I didn't have the heart to say, "Dude, you remember me? You told me about such and such." Because he made it clear while he was telling me that his wife wouldn't be happy that any of this happening.
Let's hope she never hears this episode.
I'm sure he's waiting around to listen to this.
Yeah, I bet he and his wife listen on a regular basis. Like, probably very irate that there was a couple of week hiatus there.
Exactly.
We do have one Star Wars cast member that has tuned into the show, but I'll keep that off air too.
Barry Holland, that's his name.
Very Holland. Okay.
Oh, okay.
I'll send y'all a picture of us together if you want to post it with this. Anyway.
It's a lot of times it's the fun little con stories. I don't know if I've ever told it on this show, but over the years that Catherine and I were show dealers, we had a couple of fun little experiences with some of the Star Wars guests. I think probably one of my favorites was when I think it was the first time Carrie Fisher had come to do a show in Dallas.
2002?
Yeah, that'd be about right. Because, you know, I think the first time they tried to bring her in, there was something happened, and they, you know, it had to be postponed to a later date, and we finally got her into Texas, into the area. And after the show, this was like, you know, late in the day on Sunday, she is like tear-assing all over the dealer room.
Yeah.
About the time, you know, most of the crowds have thinned out. Most of the people have already dutifully gone their way when they were told, you know,
duty.
Things going to close any time now. And so anyway, she comes running over. And, of course, meanwhile, I'm off somewhere else goofing around because it's Sunday. And before I pack up, by God, I'm going to go out and do some shopping.
Yeah.
And Catherine's been cornered by some guy who was claimed to be a physicist or something and was trying to explain some strange, bizarre something he'd written, that it was best if you read it in reverse order because then it all makes more sense. It was just, yeah, completely.
So only dyslexic people could read it.
Well, you're supposed to read like from the end of the story to the beginning because then that is more fitting for its sort of quantum.
Then it makes you as insane as him.
Yeah, basically makes it happen. And meanwhile, she sees somebody wander in behind our tables and pick up the statue where we kept them normally out of people's reach so that nothing would happen to them.
Yeah.
And it happened to be the statue that is in two pieces when it's not on display.
Oh, God.
And those are the ones that inevitably get picked up and the teeth are gritted and everything.
Yeah.
And so she looks over, and suddenly, you know, no sooner has she registered this, and then the person has not only picked up the statue, has now wandered off with it. And as all of that is being registered, it also is registering, Carrie Fisher just stole my statue.
Nice.
In her
defense, that was before she was cured.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I was like, she had just done a few lines. You have to cut her some slack there.
But it has
turned
out
she... Wow, didn't you?
But you know, like, sometimes, as a show dealer, we saw this every now and again. It's like, you know, a little kid will see something at the table, and mom and dad are five tables away, and they, like, snatch it up and run down to find mom and dad. And so, you know, once we stopped our shoot-on-site policy, a lot of those kids then have grown to be adults. Thing is, she had gone to go find her entourage. And then apparently, you know, returns the statue, slaps her American Express gold card on the table, and then disappears and just effervesces into the atmosphere.
She left her card there?
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay.
Yeah, buy yourself lunch?
No, but I did keep it and have it AFA graded. So now it's worth even more. No, we had no means by which to do credit cards.
Yeah.
We'd been pretty much cash only all the time. And then all of a sudden one of her entourage comes over and Catherine's like, she want to buy this? And then all of a sudden Carrie Fisher puffs back into existence. Yes, I want to buy that. Essentially she wanted to buy the thing and then disappears again. We're like, we don't have any way to do. But luckily the dealer next door to us was goodly enough to run the card and just give us the cash. But it was just a bizarre experience. The next thing I know, I'm like, Cole, come pack up the statue. Carrie Fisher just bought it.
What statue was it?
It was,
That's what you got out of that story, is to ask what statue.
Yeah, I like the fact that he's such a stickler for detail.
No, and I just wanted to know if it feels like a Princess Leia statue or
no,
like a...
No, what's odd is it was neither. It wasn't even a Star Wars thing. At the time, we had a little shop, and somebody put this thing on layaway. or had it special ordered and put it on layaway. And they, you know, had paid off better than half of the thing, and then something else came in, and they parlayed that money into that thing and started paying on the statue. But it was a reproduction of the statue from Scarface, the world world is yours statue with the three figures holding the globe. And
it all comes back to doing the line.
I know.
Yeah, I tell you.
What do you think she used that credit card for?
That was her little friend.
To make the little lines nice and straight.
Yeah, I have to tell you that, you know, when they ran the credit card, they were starting to see some spots and lizards and stuff. just from touching the card. Because most of it was cocaine at that point. No, but seriously, it was just one of these really bizarre instances. And another that really struck me was Rena Owen, who did the motion capture and voice performance for Ton Wee.
Yes, Lord, yes.
And
what is that about?
Yeah, I want to hear your story. Suddenly sounds more interesting than mine.
I'm not even going to talk about her. Just keep going.
Okay.
Well, obviously, your experience and mine differ greatly. But to kind of set this up, years ago we were, one of those like something to do kind of things. We'd found this clear casting resin at a hobby shop that you could make like paperweights and junk. You know, you put keys and other small things, and you can make them into paperweights and magnets and what have you. And it's just this translucent acrylic. And we thought, why don't we see? The only Star Wars figure small enough was a Yoda. So we got one of the Power of the Force 2 Yodas and tried to sink it in this stuff, but of course it bubbles all up underneath the arms and stuff. So it wasn't a great looking piece, so we just kind of kept it. And we started taking it around to shows as our Good Luck Magic Yoda. Because we had all these little good luck charms like Pocket Eagle and a bunch of other crap we carried around with us.
Kind of like my all-con cock.
Exactly like your all-con cock, like your dollar cock.
Don't even talk about it after that. Just let that hang.
Yeah.
let the cock hang.
I
let it linger.
I do like the fact that Colleen didn't let you take your cock with you to the Waco show since you were flying
I
solo.
The cock behind.
That's right.
I had to leave it behind. She didn't want to be lonely.
I just don't think she wanted you out on your own with that cock. Just gonna leave that at home, mister.
Yeah.
But, it was a little good luck charm. And, you know, it was also a nice little conversation piece. It kind of drew people to the table. So, at any rate, Rena Owen was at this show in Plano. And she and her husband were kind of shopping. It was like maybe Friday night. And, you know, we were still getting everything set up, and they came running around and said, looking for anything Yoda. And, her husband comes over so he can show us how he does his Yoda impression, which was pretty good.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, you're like a guest of the show. You're acting kind of weird.
Did you ask her if he does the voice of Yoda in bed, you know?
No, because I wasn't thinking like a fortune cookie at that point.
A fortune cookie?
Yeah, you know, when you get the fortune cookie, and you add in bed at the end. But,
I don't understand what's going on right now.
I got it.
Okay, good. But anyway,
somebody, I don't think
we didn't really have anything unique that was Yoda that, you know, you wouldn't have already owned if you were collecting Yoda stuff. But we said, you know, we showed her the little paperweight. And because we had so many people want to buy it over the years, Catherine had put a sticker on the back that said, Good Luck Magic Yoda is not for sale. And of course she sees this thing and just absolutely falls in love with it. And we're kind of looking at each other like, how do we tell this woman that it's not really something we're selling or anything. And she's like, is there any way I can get this? And so we're like, okay, I'll tell you what. I said, as you see on the back, Good Luck Magic Yoda is not for sale. But we're going to give him to you if you will, when you get back home to Australia, to New Zealand, rather. Apologies there. I know how there's a rivalry. And when you get home to New Zealand, if you'll send us pictures of Good Luck Magic Yoda in his new home. And they weren't going to be back. This was like maybe November. They weren't going to be back home till after the holidays. But
which is what they tell everybody because they're not going to do anything.
They want to finagle free goods out of. But exactly. But literally, I mean, I kid you not, like, mid-January, I go in, we had a P.O. box for the business at the time, I go in there and there's this envelope crammed full of photographs of her holding Good Luck Magic Yoda up all over the damn place.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it was just so cool.
All right, so
like,
she did,
like
she
the
did,
traveling gnome?
So she did one good thing in her life.
Wow, listen to the hate. It's Darth.
What happened with
man, that? Darth Hater over here.
Let's move on.
Good, yeah,
right. But about a year later, she comes back as a guest. Uh-huh. And we go over, and there's like a line near tables for autographs because it wasn't Bobby in line because apparently he hated her. But
she's his Stan Lee.
I guess so. But so, you know, we were kind of like waiting in the wings to go say hi and stuff. And she looked up and saw Catherine and just hopped up and like just abandoned her post and runs uh-huh. over and gives Catherine a big old hug. And she runs back over and she's like, apparently she had been carrying Good Luck Magic Yoda with her to every convention appearance.
You're kidding me.
No.
Wow.
And she had it there with her. And it was like we were
reunited. I'm sure she had it at the one that I saw, right? If I'd known that, I would have stole it.
Oh, wow.
But she's like, yeah, people always ask, well, where'd that come from? It comes from Texas. Like, wow. But it was just a neat little experience. And yeah,
she got Magic Yoda, and her heart grew three sizes that
yeah,
day.
Yeah, maybe you met her before that day.
Yeah, yeah.
Who knows? Who cares? Her career is going so well.
Wow. I don't know.
She's right up there with Mr. Peppermint. So anyway,
I bet you she's not even an honorary member of the 501st.
She probably is. Which
oh, yeah, you think so?
Which wow, that means it all.
I'm no longer jealous.
Which segues us right back on track.
Yeah, exactly. Eddie's going to force you to tell the story, so you might as well tell
yeah,
it.
Go ahead.
Okay,
go ahead.
Well, anyway, long story of all the conventions and all the doing stuff. It's actually because of AllCon I started getting more involved with meeting members of the 501st and doing different things with them and celebration and stuff like that. So like most of all the rest of us artists, I got roped into doing various art projects and just different stupid things. And then just over time, it kind of all accumulated up until this year at AllCon, which I was invited to go to the 501st dinner, which wasn't a super shock just because, Cameron Earls, who's like, I guess the squad leader or whatever they call them.
Yeah, I think.
For Texas, yeah, the garrison, yeah, for, I think Texas and Oklahoma, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, she's like the Ton Wee of the 501st.
Yeah, like, thank you. No, she's cool. But and I've known Cameron.
Okay.
I've known Cameron for years, and so it wasn't, you know, they've always given me special invites to the 501st parties and stuff because I knew them. So it wasn't, you know, it was cool, but it wasn't overly surprised to get invited to that, you know, but not in anything other than hey, come hang out with us, you know.
Yeah.
And so me and my wife went, and of course, while we were there, they were giving out awards, and I was surprised that they made me an official honorary member for all my contributions of art and whatnots to the 501st. So, needless to say, I had my official badge that I wore around to tell everybody at AllCon for the rest of the weekend.
Well, you not only wore it around, you wore it around and, like, you know, pointed at it.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I was very subtle. And not only did I, and just to make to show that I was not trying to just brag to you guys that cared, I did it to the 7-Eleven guy as well.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
But
I wonder if it's the perfect banana 7-Eleven guy.
I don't know. Me and my wife walked down to the 7-Eleven to get, you know, con goods. And,
first thing I thought you were going to say condoms.
No, we're married, so we don't do that. But, her name was written on her badge, and he leaned forward, you know, and he reads it like Drusilla, and then he looks at me. And I didn't say a word. I just put my finger on that badge and I just tapped it. Just like I did to everybody all weekend. And he just kind of looked at me like, this guy's lost his damn mind. And then just goes back to talking to her like I didn't even exist.
Wait.
Yeah. So I had this strange
she had
experience.
Her AllCon badge on.
Yeah, she had her AllCon badge on.
Okay.
No, Drusilla does not wear a badge everywhere that just has her name on it.
Yeah,
let's be clear,
she is not, in fact, an honorary member of the 501st.
That's where I got caught. I thought, wait, didn't
she
you?
Is only cool by connection to me.
Oh, okay.
Now, I was slightly upset because obviously now I can go into any 501st party, meeting, anything they're having. At
any
7-Eleven. Any 7-Eleven. But anything the 501st is having, because I'm an honorary member, I have the badge, I can go in without them asking questions or whatever. So we're sitting in the 501st party at one point, And yeah. I'm looking around, and it's me and Scott Horn, who's is in the 501st and Drew, and then a bunch of other people we already know. And I look, I was like, you know, this kind of sucks. Cameron comes in. I'm like, you know, what's the perks of this thing? Because I would have been in this party anyway. I'm feeling kind of robbed here.
You would take an honor like that and subvert it in such a terrible way.
She just laughed at me, told me to shut up. But
it was
cool because it's one of those things, being, you know, the super Star Wars nerd that, you know, I, of course, I had to play it cool while I was there.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, I get up, I pose, I'm like, oh, thanks, you know, I'm so undeserving, you know, in my mind, I'm like, I had twofold, and two things happened in my mind. One was, it's about damn time.
Yeah.
Just because I wanted it, not because I deserved it. But the other was like, the five-year-old inside me was like, yes, 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 I am amazing.
And you got a plaque, too.
A badge, and I believe I have a t-shirt coming as well with my name on it.
Oh, okay.
So, but the most exciting part of the whole thing, we're walking to 7-Eleven. All of it seemed to happen at 7-Eleven. We're walking to 7-Eleven, and I looked over at my wife, and I'm like, holy crap, I get to wear this. I looked over, and I'm like, holy crap, I get to wear this to Celebration.
That's
so
true,
yeah. So now while I'm celebrating, your tapping finger is probably going to get worn out over that weekend.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's going to give a crap at Celebration. Like,
oh, another honorary member.
Although I did tell her, because, you know, it's funny, is somebody kept pointing out that it said artist and was quotes, and I think it was Scott and Jesse kept saying that. Artist. And it's in quotes, and I'm laughing. I'm like, I know, haha. Not realizing, I swear to you, this happened Friday. It wasn't until late Saturday night that I realized they were reading the badge. I was so excited about it that I never read the badge and noticed that it even said artist in quotes on the badge. I just thought it was my name.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, the joke's funny, but why do y'all keep doing it? and I kept looking at it, and I'm like, oh, holy crap, that does say that. So I actually went to Cameron, and I said, because her daughter's in my class as well.
Yeah.
And so I went and told her, I said, you know, I'm going to wear this to my Taekwondo class as well, so I could tell my students. But I was like, I need to get another one that says martial artist. So I have two of them. So
nice.
I have my class one, and then I have my convention one.
Yeah. Martial artist.
Now,
so, obviously, Cole and I are like madly jealous now.
Yeah.
Because I want a badge.
Yeah, I was gonna.
We are
like,
officially changing the name of the show from the Rancor Pit to "Oh How We Love You 501st."
Yeah, we're calling it the 501st Brown Noser Legion.
Well, apparently, for
the rest of our lives.
Oh no, not Brown Noser, Cole. Remember what you said the other day?
Oh, that's right. What was it? The
White Noser.
We're White Nosers.
Well, apparently, to what I found out too is I wasn't aware. You know, because I'm thinking, you know, oh cool, they decided to. You know, Cameron probably said, hey, he does all this work for me, because essentially Cameron calls me with all this art stuff, like the droid badges and other stuff that I've done for him, and says, hey, do me this artwork. She basically treats me like Cole treats me. It says, and Cole hasn't made me any kind of member of anything, but but he does pay
me. Oh, great.
Me,
now I have to go and get
his defense. In his defense, he does pay me in Star Wars goods.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
But,
when do they ever give you any toys?
But also, I
am going to create a badge that's has less meaning than the one you already have.
Be like the 503rd.
Yeah, you'll be like an official member of the Jedi Cole universe.
I'll wear them both proudly. But
you can tap that.
I just thought, okay, Cameron decided, you know, Cameron's in charge. She had this thing, and she said, hey, I'm going to make you an honorary member, right? And I found out later, after talking to some people about it, that apparently they have to be nominated, but then you have to have a certain amount of people or a couple of people that actually, I guess, vouch for you in some manner, you know, so there's like a vote or submission or something. I don't know exactly how the process. Yeah, I don't know how the process exactly works. I didn't want to get in there and find out that it, in fact, was just her saying, I give it to him, you know, because then it makes me feel even lesser than a man than I already knew. So,
well, probably after she heard about how much you were tapping on it, she probably said, why don't we just tell him that, you know, there's
it was funny because she actually found it hilarious, because I was doing that to her every time she walked up as well. And the drunker she got, she kept asking me, were you surprised, and it became more a constant question when she got drunk, no matter how many times I had already answered it. But, and of course, you know, now in all geek fashion with my displayed collection, it is now front and center on my desk, the plaque, the badge, patch. So anybody that comes in will see that when they walk into my office right away.
And if you don't see it, he will tap it.
I will point it out.
Oh my gosh, you're kidding me.
Is it near the Red Panda or?
It is slightly off this side, but it is nearby the Red Panda.
As long as the Red Panda is still prominently displayed.
The Red Panda goes right back onto the table, and the way my desk is sit, you know, it's an L-shaped desk with printer in the center. So at the angle, it's right in front of the printer, so it's a proud award display.
That's a good way to do it.
Well, when I get my badge, my honorary member badge, I'm going to set it right next to my cock.
I bet you will.
As well you should. You
it's got tap. Magnets on it. You can probably wear it on your... Oh.
And you can tap both of them. So, Eddie, you've been actually not quiet throughout the show, but certainly we haven't had a chance to tap you for information on Star Wars experiences, fandom experiences.
You kind of caught me off guard. I haven't really been thinking about it. I've just been listening to all of Bobby's myriad of stories.
It's like, wow, this is a great show.
Another one I can bring the Irving Kershner story up.
Is there anybody you hate
who was a Star Wars actor who slighted you in Bobby fashion?
I love Irving Kershner.
I think I told this on the live show, but just in case I didn't, there was the one time at the Richardson Center, you know, when they were doing the Sci-Fi Expo. And I was set up, obviously, at one of the artist tables where I was running to the bathroom to take a break. And as I'm going in, you know, I always look over my shoulder to see if someone's coming in behind me, so I can hold the door open. So I look over my shoulder, don't see anybody, and as I'm letting go of the door, I caught movement down by my knee. And I looked really fast and was able to barely catch the door before it smacked Kenny Baker in the nose.
Nice.
You know, R2-D2. And I was, you know, of course.
I mean, that's horrible.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. So immediately, I know, because we know when R2 falls over, it's hard for him to get back up.
Yeah.
And so, I was able to catch it in time and pull it open. And I was like, oh, really, sir. And he was like, it's okay. And he just kept on, you know, going. And so I felt bad.
Not only did you have the English accent, you even had kind of the tone of his voice as well.
For a second there, I thought I was watching Time Pirates.
I feel so bad. I almost asked him if he needed me to hold him up at the Euro when. I like how Bobby got that before I finished it.
You know, it's funny, not to interrupt you, but speaking of Kenny Baker, he yelled at my wife one time.
Like in a good way, like catcalling or something?
No. I think it was partially a joke and partially frustration. It was one of the early cons, and I think it was at Richardson as well. It might have been the same con. Uh-huh. And I had got his autograph, and I was going to take a picture with him, right? So, you know, he always would have a chair so people could sit down in the chair so he could pose with you, or either that or you kneel down at the R2 unit.
Yeah.
So we our old digital camera at the time was one of those that, you know, if you're not using it for a little bit, it kind of goes to hibernate.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we had been waiting, whatever. Drew's got the camera on. She's all ready. So she stands up there to take the picture, and it had gone to hibernate. And so she's having to turn it off, turn it back on to kick it on. So me and him are already posing, right? And he's looking at her, and she's like, hold on, I'm sorry. She's being really polite, and he's kind of tapping his little tiny foot, you know, and he's got his little sausage.
Oh, yeah, you got your weight. What? Sausage hands?
His little tiny foot.
But he got worse because he says sausage hands.
and he goes,
did you really? Like,
he did. He said sausage hands.
I'm picturing Vienna sausages now just wiggling.
He's got his arm kind of around me, right?
Yeah.
And I swear she's trying to do her thing. And, you know,
you don't have a descriptor for his arm?
He's not looking angry. He's not saying, and then out of nowhere he kind of yells. He's like, come on now. You know, and she's like fumbling around, and she's like, I'm sorry. She's trying to get the camera taking the picture. I don't think he was legitimately mad. I think he was harassing her, but it was funny because there was no direct
tone
to figure out.
I was waiting for you to say, I'm the juggernaut, bitch.
And of course, as he walked away, she's like, it's almost like, you know, she looks at me, and she's like, that little guy yelled at me. And it was just like, she was like so distraught that this little R2-D2 guy had screamed at her.
I'm glad you weren't the one taking the picture. Hold your horses, sausage hands.
it's sausage fingers.
I'm sorry.
Oh, my God.
We did get to play Jingo with Mike Edmonds, too, the low grade.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you were playing Jingo with Django.
Oh, that would have been so cool.
No, he's kind of he was rude.
Really?
What?
The guy that played Django, he was rude when I met him.
Tamora Morrison?
Yeah.
Well, you're maybe throwing all sorts of dirt on this episode. Yeah, well,
he might have been having a bad day. I don't.
Yeah,
I
the thing about it
really
is, he seemed
to
be having a lot of fun the time he was at like one of the Dallas Comic Cons or Sci-Fi Expos or Fan Days or whatever that was, years and years ago. Because he like at the end of the show, he like came and got on the PA and did a big shout out to everybody. And even sang a song.
He might have just been grumpy then, because the year that I met him was the year they put him and Carrie Fisher and I forgot somebody else up on the stage in the main dealer room. You know how they used to cycle them to put the bigger lines and make you go to the stage, and then you come off into the dealer room.
Exactly.
He was up there, and when we fed through him, he was just like, "I'm like, you know, it was one of those things. I'm like, can I take a picture?" And he was like, "Ugh." I was like, "Yeah."
What happened was he's like, "Oh, Kenny Baker told me."
That's right, yeah, probably.
That's it.
Is your camera on this time?
Well, no, and that's what was messed up is, like, I could take the picture with him, but he couldn't take pictures with Carrie Fisher.
Oh, yeah.
That's right, yeah.
Right? So I have these really bizarre pictures from, because Drew jumped up to she used her feminine wiles to get to the staircase where I would be coming off, where Carrie Fisher was sitting, and she got to the security guard, and she goes, "I just need to take a picture, please," you know, and she puts her hair in pigtails all the time and bobbing around at people. And he's like, "Oh, go right ahead," you know? So she's taking pictures of me getting signatures and whatnot.
Pigtails?
Oh, yeah, when we used it early on in cons, man, my girl would put her hair up in pigtails. She'd go bopping around the con and get it, drum up business.
Oh, yeah.
We were doing a Wizard World, and Mark Silvestri was doing one of his signings, right? And we were set up. I was signing in the Lone Star booth doing, you know, sketches and stuff. And they, you know, the lines were so big, it was wrapping through all the aisles.
Yeah.
Right? And, of course, it was covering up our area. So I was just promoting the website.
I hope
the last
kept your
side
area
of that.
Covered up, mister.
So Drew goes, "I'm going to go promote." So she threw her hair up in pigtails, like she had planned this, and disappears with a stack of our postcard advertisements. Comes back with none of them, right? My numbers on that website shot through the roof that weekend, because she was bobbing around everybody. Hey,
in the meantime, the Top Cow website, you know, went down.
Crashed.
In numbers.
Yeah.
It crashed.
Well, in fact,
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get off topic.
Oh, no, that's all right. We were kind of on topic, since it's this... The stuff
it's all,
of
it's
Star
all fandom.
Wars legend.
It's all fandom.
Yeah. I think the funniest one was we had gone to some friend's house and like I was saying, playing Jenga with Mike Edmonds, and he was just drinking beer and you know, of course, you know, being a little person, you know, or whatever they call them. I don't know what the PC version of that is now.
You were doing just fine up to that point.
Okay.
We'll leave it there.
I think it's midget.
Oh, is it back to that again?
I don't know.
Anyway, I never know what those people. Anyway. But it was funny. It's really funny because, you know, you're watching him, but he's such a lively little guy that's, you know, he loves that. No, but I mean, he loves
does
that.
He, no, does he have sausage fingers too?
he does, but he embraces his littleism. You know what I mean? He doesn't. He makes jokes about it.
I'm wondering if we're ever going to have Bobby back on this damn show.
You'll have to eventually. But, but no, we were playing Jenga, and to listen him yell Jenga and throw stuff while he's drinking beer, it was like just amazing to watch this guy in action. And, you know, we had the whole thing, and he didn't totally understand the game initially because I don't know if the way he made it sound is like, I guess in England they don't play Jenga. I don't know. I would assume it's a worldwide game.
No, you mean that's the stacking blocks game, right?
Yes, yes. Okay. And he would
that's decidedly American because most countries are smart enough not to
right.
a game
but he,
of a bunch
but
of
he
wooden
would,
blocks.
But he would yell. He loved just yelling Jenga, even if it wasn't right.
Oh, yes, it's sort of like Mystery Science Theater when they're playing Stratego.
Yeah, he was just having a good old time.
They'd move Stratego.
Yeah, and at one point, you know, because you know he's been having a lot of health problems now. Yeah. You know, because I still talk to him periodically via Facebook. And
it's all the drinking he's doing, that's why.
But, well, I mean, no, now it's like, you know, because of his whatever the condition he has with his back and his knees or whatever.
Yeah, he has been having a lot of trouble with his back.
But while we were going to the house that day, he's walking, you know, and he had his cane, and he was moving way better than I think he is right now, but he was still kind of slow, you know, and I think, I don't know if it was me or somebody else that asked him, you know, you doing okay, you need any help? He's like, I got it, just go on without me, man, you know.
Nice.
He's like shooing us away, you know.
All these mad little people.
Oh, well, he wasn't mad. He was lighthearted when he said it. But, you know, he was just like, keep it moving. You don't need to worry about me.
Yeah, because you're talking about Kenny Baker reminded me of a story. Okay, you guys know Oz, Chris Fulton.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So years and years ago when we first met him, like back
he was a little person?
Yeah, he really was. No, back when we first met him,
in many ways, we
kind of got him, like, really geared up to do it. It's been so neat to see him, like, go and start making money off his art.
You're taking credit for his success, sir.
He just did.
No.
I was going to tell him next time.
He just totally took credit.
No, there was no credit taking. I was just saying, it's been nice to see that happen.
When I discovered Chris Fulton, he wasn't even Oz yet. He was still just Chris.
Yeah, he was still just Chris. No, back then, he collaborated with me.
To draw in my ash can.
All right, shut up. he collaborated with me on an ash can thing that we were doing.
Now, thanks to me, he is living his dream.
I don't take any credit for that. I just like the fact that we knew him when.
You mean when he was nothing and you made him a powerful artist that he is today?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, well, what happened in your case, mister?
What did you do to my career?
I know. You never had one.
You put all your energy into him, just left me on the wayside.
It was like Daddy Warbucks taking an Annie and giving her
I'm not even going to tell this story now.
Giving her a chance at life.
But back when we first met him.
Oh, it's a hard knock life.
Yes, indeed.
I'm sorry. Continue, sir. This
no,
is a very
not.
Important
you're
story.
Not sorry, but I'll continue.
I'm not at all.
But anyway, back then, we'd gone to one of the conventions where Kenny Baker was a guest. And he and his girlfriend were telling us later they went to go get his autograph. And they came back to our tables and were telling us, that was weird. Like, well, we have to go get Kenny Baker's autograph. And, no, actually, I think we were actually in line with him. But at any rate, Kenny Baker was there with his wife. And it may have been a Wizard World or something, but at any rate, they're there to get an autograph. And while they're waiting, his wife's kind of, you know, talking to some of the folks in line and stuff. And, I think his girlfriend says, "Oh, you know, it's so neat that you know his wife. You get to come along and enjoy the show and everything." She goes, "I'm not his wife. I'm his lover." And it, you know, if that wasn't creepy enough, then it was. Then she said,
"You showed him a video."
Oh wow!
Oh. No, then she looks over at Chris and goes, "Is she your lover?"
Oh my gosh!
I could totally see that by her too.
Yeah, it was so funny. It was so deliberately provocative and just meant to creep them out. And it was so wonderful at the same time. Fun to do that!
I don't know anything about his.
But it was actually Kenny Baker and his wife that discovered Chris. So shut up!
Oh okay.
Oh, now we're gonna go that route.
Yeah, I'll do whatever it takes.
Now, does his wife match him?
Yes, they're both the same size.
Okay.
Match him? This thing. I didn't know how to be on show with
they both wear the same shirts and the same pants.
I didn't know how to ask.
They're not twins. They're not even related except through marriage.
Hey, can you tell where one ends and the other begins?
They're not.
Well, one begins.
Let me explain something about those people's cultures. They don't get married. They're just together.
Yeah. They're just lovers.
She match him.
I didn't want to offend
you don't want to offend him, so instead you talk to him like, do y'all match?
Here's what we're going to offend. If you want to offend somebody, here's what we're going to do it. I don't know that I've ever told this story on a show before. I may have, but it's unlikely.
How could you not told a story somewhere?
You're never coming back.
Let me guess. You discovered.
You are never coming back until the next time I have you on my show.
That's when I discovered John Byrne. Yeah.
When I discovered Jim Lee and founded DC Comics.
But then Jay LaGaia, who played Captain Typho in episodes 2 and 3, who I didn't discover. But he was a guest at AllCon in 2006.
That was AllCon number two or three.
It was their second AllCon ever.
Yeah, because that's when I met him there. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I remember that AllCon. That's when they had like this
gigantic inflatable Vader.
Oh, that was so cool.
There was like these vendors that had like a 24-hour shop.
It wasn't quite 24 hours. The funny thing is that particular
sucked.
Yeah, really, especially according to some of the other vendors who didn't have that option.
There was a Yahoo.
They were like, oh, by the way, we're not the ones who backed out on them last year, so suck it.
Yeah, exactly.
There was an artist that was right outside their door that was a total douchebag too.
Oh, he was.
Oh, was that the egg, the Wavo guy?
Yeah, it was an egg. Some guy did a bunch like.
Speaking of Wavos,
Admiral Eggs Bar. But at any rate, so Jay LaGaia is from New Zealand, just like apparently Bobby's arch nemesis. So
Stanley,
we invited him. AllCon let him, kind of send him down to be in the very first incarnation of Geek Match Game.
Yeah,
as one of our panelists. Well, being from New Zealand, you know what the hell Match Game was.
He didn't know what Madness was.
They didn't have Match Game in New Zealand, so
And you had matches there.
So it was hard to light candles.
They just have ukuleles.
Ukuleles?
What, that doesn't even make any sense.
I know.
I just kept thinking about all that with that guy walking around playing his guitar and singing the whole convention.
Kenny Baker?
No, yes. No. Well, he'd have to play a ukulele, but no. The
oh wow!
No, the other guy. He was singing at the. He was singing.
Well,
at
he have like a Les
there.
Paul ukulele or something.
He has a little R2-D2 ukulele.
So anyway, Jay LaGaia is there. He's goodly enough to come down and do the show, and he just has no clue. And I felt like he was just miserable because he didn't understand.
Because he didn't have his ukulele.
He didn't understand going in how the game worked and everything, but apparently he had fun because then he really, really, he like sought us out. He's like, oh, can I be in your show again? Because we were doing one on Sunday. And like, yeah. And then he was really...
That's because he had heard what you had done for Chris Fulton. He wanted to...
He wanted the Jedi Cult bump.
Oh my God. That was perfect.
You jerks.
You get props. That was good.
But at any rate, I tell that story
to set up something else.
Because also all weekend long, he kept coming into our little shop there and like buying all kinds of stuff.
How did he keep walking past my table? I never saw any of this happen.
She probably didn't know who the hell it was. There's some guy walking past the table.
I was like, could this guy with a guitar go sit down somewhere?
Plus, you're so damn full of yourself.
Oh yeah, because back then I was all about the cash.
Because back then you were no Chris Fulton.
Exactly. I was no Joe Singleton at that time.
At any rate,
Chris Fulton. He's never going to hear this, but if he does, he's gonna like, man, they have nothing else better.
Yeah,
than
really.
About.
I'm gonna tell him.
And they're like, I hope he doesn't tell the like, part of the story.
I'm gonna tell him. I'm like, dude, you have to listen to this. I'm just saying.
I hope he doesn't tell the part of the story I think he's gonna tell, which I'm gonna tell now. There was somebody we were familiar with had come into the shop there. We had a room to ourselves that we could open at all hours. So we would go, like, see the Rocky Horror Picture Show and then come and reopen our dealer room at 3 in the morning or something and keep it open for a couple hours. So at one point he wanders in again, and there's 3 people in the room other than myself. There was a woman I'd seen at a lot of the shows before. I think I'd seen her at AllCon the previous year at some of the other local shows. There was somebody that we knew from one of Catherine's old jobs. And Jay LaGaia. And he comes in and he's talking about how these girls were down there and they were flashing him when he was playing the guitar. which was
the guitar.
He had a guitar. It wasn't a ukulele. But he actually did have a guitar. And so he was playing that. And
who's the fool now?
You, because you thought it was a ukulele.
No, I didn't think. I knew.
So that ukulele was his lover.
Yes, you're right. So anyway, he was talking about how like these girls kept coming and flashing him, and she was this woman that Catherine. It was like, well, wow, I wish I'd known. And she's like, and he was like encouraging her to flash him, and everybody they were kind of looking around. And said, look, I'll go close the door.
The customer.
Yeah, the person
they were
the
woman urging Catherine to flash him?
No, Catherine wasn't in the room. It was somebody that she knew from a previous job. So someone I was familiar with.
I had a whole other story about it.
And the other customer woman was still hanging out in there. So I'll go close the door. So I go close the door, and she flashed him.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, like it was nothing. And he's like, well, you know, my eyes are not so good. I always see better with my tongue.
Oh.
And yes,
I've been telling everybody for years that's true.
So he pulled. Well, he's trying to pull. So he pulls the Jar Jar move.
He Jar Jar'd her right there in the room, and then I'm thinking, you know, that probably was not the best idea to let this happen. You know, at Alcon,
you basically gave the birth to the real Alcon.
I know exactly. Yeah. So you
not only did you discover Chris Fulton, founded Alcon.
I'm going to see what else I can claim before the end of the show.
If we could just get you to use your powers for good.
Well, obviously
he used all of his powers up on Chris Fulton because he's successful and you and I aren't, Bobby. So
yeah. Well, I didn't discover.
My career seems to be going backwards.
He's sucking any potential you have and giving it to
Chris. Yeah, that's right. I just pass it right on to my
Chris
prodigy.
All of Chris's displays keep getting bigger and bigger. Mine keep getting smaller and smaller. Like a physical.
And then on top of that, a portion of your display gets taken over by my craps.
I'm starting to think that even Chris gets proceeds to stuff I sell.
Little do you know, Bobby, you were actually sort of born out of the Chris Fulton experience.
I was.
Oh, good.
That was in fact my very first convention ever.
Oh, there you go.
Alcon year 2 was?
Yep. That was the very first convention I ever did.
Oh, wow.
That's why this year was actually my official 10-year anniversary of doing conventions.
That's right, because I remember, you know, that weird egg guy out there with his... And exactly. I was actually going to have you on the talk show one time back when you were still doing the egg stuff.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry about that.
So I could start doing like a little thing where I was going to come up with, you know, characters you hadn't done and come up with ridiculous new egg versions of them and challenge you to figure out what their egg name would be, like your Admiral Eggs Bar. And I was, did Admiral Eggs Bar, by the way, did it ever occur to you to have it like, you know, where his shell was starting to...
It did not. I had a very, as sad as this is going to make me sound like a really dumbass.
There's a lot of things tonight that have made you sound...
I was going to say.
No, most of it makes me sound like some kind of a racist, but I had a very strict rule when I drew the eggs that they kind of evolved to a point, because originally it was a very just like a white egg, and then I would just put clothes or accessories, right?
Yeah, you just make them...
When I allowed them to...
The costume of the
kid. Like Mr. Potato Head, basically.
Exactly, yeah, totally. And when I finally evolved them to something, you know, more... The rule became they had to keep the egg shape, and then they had to have these stumpy arms, these legs, but they always stood in the exact same forward position. There was no depth to them. They were just this very straightforward body shape. And then I basically just would draw them to look like whatever the character was, but it still just had to be the egg shape.
Yeah.
So it was no longer an egg really anymore. It was just this character in an egg shape.
And then I guess you were selling it more with a name at that point.
Yeah, and it did. It became, you know, what is the stupid egg name that I can make up for this lame character? And then as I stopped doing the egg sketches for people, at the tail end, I got into a rhythm as every time we'd do a convention that had a bunch of Star Wars guests, I would do all of the guests their character as eggs.
I see.
And I took two copies. So I have like a whole series of every egg print I ever did signed by the actor of that character. that, you know, only matter to me, because everybody else would look at the art and be like, what is this crap? But I'd give them a copy, which was one of the funniest things, not funny, it's really ha-ha funny, but like uncomfortable funny for myself, was when I went to talk to Amy Allen.
Yeah.
And I had her, you know, an egg of her, as well as the chick, and I forgot her name.
The
other lady that was the Mara Jade model.
Was it Sharon? Sharon Baxa?
Sharon McRandall?
Well, Sharon Baxa McRandall, yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
First started out, it was Sharon Baxa, then it became Sharon Baxa McRandall, then it became Sharon McRandall. Then it became Sharon Cougar Mellencamp, and
that was Meredith Baxter Burning.
So you're thinking of
Meredith Baxter Burning Man. So it's a festival.
At the very first Star Wars fan days they had.
Yeah.
which was the same year that I got to go to the Wookiee workshop and the Barry Holland situation. I had was working.
Barry Holland situation?
Yes.
Is that like on CNN or something?
if I could tell you the story publicly.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm sure we'll come out at AllCon at some point.
It sounds like a chapter in like Pulp Fiction or something.
Yes, exactly.
It's damn near. But
you have to understand how explosive this Barry situation is.
But at that one, you know, they had a buttload of various Star Wars actors. And so I made it my mission. I'm like, oh crap, this is my chance. So I drew all these characters, you know, and I had Tim Rose and all these different people. But this was the first time I was going to give one to females. And I started becoming extremely self-conscious because of these little fat characters.
Yeah, I was going to say, Ailey Secura doesn't lend herself well to an egg because then it makes it look like she's tubby.
Exactly, it's just
with
a fat,
bare midriff going on. Yeah.
Yeah, I was a fat chick, and I would draw little egg boobs. You know, not
little egg boobs.
They're not like pointy or nothing, but they weren't pointy or nothing. But I would put little loop, you know, to signify that the character's a female, right? It wasn't like an overly exaggerated creepy thing. You know, it was just this is obviously a female character, right?
What you should have is done two cracked eggs and have the yolk be the nipples or something.
I wasn't that provoking at that time. So I'd done all these, and they all had the same design of the print. They had a border. I had the character's name on it, you know, and whatnot. So I have all these things ready, right? And I'm going, and you know, I had one for Elvis Trooper, and, you know, so I had the Egg Disc Trooper, and I had the Leg Ray, you know, for Leg Ray, and I had the Mara Jade, which was like Megra Jade or something, you know. So I started going up to pass them out, and then I get really hesitant. I was really nervous having to deal with the celebrities because I was still new to that stuff at the time. But I get up to them and I'm like, how do I approach this? So I guarantee I look like that nervous guy going to ask a girl out on a date for the first time. Because I walk up to them and I'm like, hey, I've got a piece of art I did for you. And they're all excited, right? They're very pleasant, very nice people about it. And they're like, oh, that's awesome, you know, and I'm like, but I have to explain this to you first, which their faces just suddenly drop like, oh,
uh-oh. It's like,
yeah,
it's
like what the hell is about to happen?
It's like fan service or something.
My agent warned me.
Exactly. And in my mind, I was like warning them because I had something I wanted to explain it because I felt guilty. To them, they clearly look like now I'm that creepy fan. I'm Sean.
Yeah.
Oh, right?
No names.
Hey, it could be any Sean in the world.
Sean
so,
the dead.
But no, it's the guy with the.
Yeah,
anyway,
shut up.
So anyway, I'm one of those guys, right? And so I'm like, okay, look, I do these eggs. I give this whole spiel that nobody could give a crap about in relation to why I draw the eggs and where they come from.
One of those guys.
Yeah, because I could have just said, you know, hey, I did a sketch of you, but I did them as an egg. Here it is.
Yeah.
And it would have been enough explanation because nobody ever got bothered. They all, oh, those are hilarious. Thanks. You know, but my mind, I'm like, okay, here's what happened. One time I was drawing for my son, and I went the entire spiel, not once, but twice, to both of them, and they were sitting next to each other. And I, like, give it to one, and she's like, oh, that's funny. She laughs. So I moved to the next lady and commenced to do the exact same speech, and now she's looking at me like, idiot, I'm sitting right here.
Yeah.
I heard the whole thing, you know.
And my eyes are up here.
Yeah, exactly.
Quit looking at my eggs.
Yeah.
And of course I walk away and I'm like, as I'm walking away, I feel like the guy that now has been, you know, she has now told me no about going on a date. So I'm just like, you know, and I have my autographs of the artwork and I'm just like, I just feel horrible about my life. you know, this is stupid. It's like, I hate everything. And that was actually the beginning of the end of the egg art.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So I don't think that was definitely that.
I was trying to envision that maybe with Admiral Eggspar, when you know, you could like put a little fracture in his shell.
Well, if you look,
yelling, it's a crack.
Oh goodness! I did now that his is one of the few. I only did like two multi-character prints of those, which his
apart
because
from the movie posters.
Well, because Tim Rose did voices and puppetry on three of the characters, you know, with. Silicious Crumb, Sice Noodles, and Admiral Eggbar. I did Silicious. Admiral Eggbar, Silicious Crumb, and Segs Noodles. And I actually drew them all. But you look at them now, because they got so detailed at that point, which is, I think, why I stopped doing them,
yeah.
That they don't look like eggs anymore. They just look like Weeble Wobble versions of all these characters.
Yeah.
So I moved on, and they all have very large crotches for some strange reason.
Like
as I go,
it's not just a Weeble, it's a Weeble Wobble.
Exactly. Well, they don't fall down.
That is true.
Wow.
Yes, but I went what, there.
Yeah, what's with the crotches? Because I noticed the Life Isn't Fair Monopoly baby has, like, a huge crotch also.
His is a diaper. It's okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's obviously a very full diaper.
Yeah.
The only one,
a well-endowed baby there.
This early on, you know, it's funny because this is early on, you know, and I guarantee still if I was to go talk to Peter Mayhew, he'd still not know who the hell I am despite doing security and everything else. Is every time we meet, it's like we meet for the first time. But I did his Che Baca, which was basically just an oblong hairy thing with a with a bandolier thing on.
That sounds disgusting.
It looks more like Bigfoot than it does like it looks more like a Bigfoot than anything related to Chewbacca. But yeah. I remember handing it to him, and of course. The only way I was getting a signed one from him by myself is I was going to have to pay for it. And, you know, but because I knew his handler, the guy's like, oh, no, I know him, do this. And so I give him one, and he looks at me like, oh, thanks. I'm like, do I really have to take this?
He didn't say that. Oh, I know.
Yeah, he was just like, oh, thank you. And he just handed it to his wife. And just moved on about his business, and I was just like,
"They're really nice people. I'm sure they
can." They are. No. I love Peter to death. Like I said, I've hung out with him numerous times since then. But this was like before I really knew him. And I know sometimes, like any of the other celebs, they get a little standoffish. So the weirdos that come up to them
bring them strange things.
Yeah, don't get too engaged.
But his wife Angie is like really like that true like Texas spirit, where she's really friendly and
yeah.
And everything. I'm sure they kept it.
Well, the only thing that kept the eggs going for the longest time was Steve Sansweet.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Because he apparently loved them.
Yeah, he really embraced that in ways that no one else in the entire world did.
Or should. Because I actually did a Steve Sansweet vert one.
Yeah.
Of him.
Which, when you say that out loud, sounds dirtier than it looked on the
I know. When no, you didn't see him, you clearly don't remember the drawing. But it was of his character from episode one.
Yeah.
And that was like my first brush with like feeling like I actually did something cool as an artist. You know, well, I think that was my second, because my first one was doing the egg for James LaVar. But
yeah.
When I'll never forget when Chris, who he's a good friend of mine now, but he was always
I didn't discover this, Chris.
he lives in Houston, but he was always Steve's handler anytime he was doing Dallas or Texas related conventions.
Yeah,
he was like his personal assistant type of thing. But he comes over to me at one of the shows, and you know, that's when the fan days when they started giving all the artist sketch cards, but they were supposed to be just for the artists. You know, the actual official Star Wars artists.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of them had names, some were blanks. And I remember him coming over to me and going, yes, here's a sketch card, you know, and Mr. Sansu would like a sketch from you. And I'm like, no, he doesn't.
Yeah. You know? He's obviously mistaken me for Chris Fulton.
I'm like, you need to put your glasses on and look at this crap. He does not want this. And he has his list, because, you know, he gave him a list of people he wanted sketches from.
Yeah.
And he was sending them around. And he kind of zooms to his list, being all official, and he goes, you're the egg guy, correct? And I'm like, yeah. He goes,
that's where you like,
and dream. He goes, you're Bobby? And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, you're on my list. And I'm like, okay.
Wow.
And I thought I was going to get shut down, because that was also, I think, the same year I'd done the Egg Wars prints of all the six film posters.
Yeah.
And I remember Sansweet coming to my table,
Yeah.
And looking at him and staring at him very intently, you know, and at the time he was still working for Lucasfilm.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is what's fixing to happen. I'm fixing to get served, or I'm going to get in trouble or fined, or my one good thing I've actually done, and I'm not going to be able to show anybody. And he looked at it, and he just kind of snickers. He goes, that is hilarious. He goes, I want a set of those. Let me buy a set of those. And I'm like, no, please take them. You know?
Yes.
This is a non-profit organization. Please,
yeah, get
these with you. That's where I got the idea for now hiring.
In the midst of those as well, I did one for Jeremy Bullock, which he actually framed and hung in his Boba Fett collection at his house and sent me a picture of it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, so. Or maybe he sent you the picture because it's not like you're going to go over there like, you know, when your mom...
Oh, I'm sure you took
something.
It down after you took the picture.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like you're going to show up at his house like when your mom comes and you have to put out the things she bought you.
Yeah, I don't care if he did or not. I have the picture that says he did.
Sure you do. Okay,
I bet you Chris Bolton can't say that.
Yeah. That's so true.
I bet
he can't say that, but unless he's just repeating what Bobby said.
I have an entire file that is labeled... Star Wars eggs, Star Wars eggs and their stars with them all holding the original artwork.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Including Ray Park, who was clearly not entertained by my drawing.
Was he not?
He was, you know, he wasn't like, he didn't think it was stupid or something. He's just like, oh, that's, yeah.
Yeah.
I took a picture of it. It was
you're,
nice.
You're,
it
you're one of those guys.
Yeah, he wasn't rude or anything.
Yeah, but if you come back here with some kind of toad egg, I'm going to punch you.
I'll have to show you all the picture because I have a picture of Peter Mayhew holding the original artwork.
I'm going to press you to send me a couple of pictures I can use for flavor art for this episode.
Holy crap. Now that we spent, we discussed the whole Jay Lagagia.
Why don't you have pictures of that, do I?
I have a picture of him holding the original egg artwork of his character as well as me.
Okay, that's the one. That's the one I need for this show.
I didn't even know.
Who? What?
Jay Lagagia.
The guitar guy.
The ukulele guy, according to Sausage Fingers over here. Okay, well, with that, we probably ought to wrap this show up. We're running a little long. I just really want to get Bobby not to talk anymore.
Must be bad.
Yeah, you never know. It's bad enough when you never know what I'm going to say, but I forgot. Bobby's on, it's like a rotor. It's like every now and again I'll forget how Bobby is, and then we'll have him on a show. Like, oh, that's right.
That's why we don't ask him back.
This comes from the guy. who will bogart any conversation. Into a long, drug-out story that nobody understands.
God.
Wow.
I'm sorry, I went in defense mode.
You did. So, again, all the more reason to wrap it up. Bobby, is there anything you'd like to plug?
Sausagefingers.com.
Is Eddie's on the show?
People Sausage Hands? Or?
Eddie, I would like to tell everybody, you know, to remind everybody that Eddie's favorite book has continued.
Oh, gosh. Oh, no, I'm okay with this one because of the foreword.
Well, hold on. The new issue of You Are Here, Volume 2, titled You're Still Here, that does, in fact, have a brilliant foreword by our lovely Eddie.
It does.
But his favorite book of all time, You Are Here, Volume 1, is still available that he sometimes sells at his own cheap for us.
Whether he likes
it or not.
And also, I want to point out, on the subject of You Are Here, Volume 1 and 2, we were working on getting that into Bankston's and Austin Books and some of those stores as well right now.
Nice. If you're at AllCon, then you might have heard from one of my brief appearances, but I am being the 10th anniversary.
I thought you were going to talk about your 501st Legion thing again. Like, shut up!
I was going to get into that in a second, but since we talked about the eggs for so long, I'm bringing back The Keepers of Dawn, my very first book that I ever did.
Yeah, I love The Keepers of the Dawn.
And I am actually completely redrawing the first two issues that will be released hopefully in the near future. And, of course, if you attend any situation, there's a 501st party gathering, there's a high chance that I could be wandering by because I am an honorary member.
He will never let you forget it either.
I've seen the preview pages of Keepers of the Dawn. It looks great. Because I've seen the original, and the original was not so good.
Wow. I was fixing to say, wow, it sounds like you're saying the original. Wait a minute, he just said it.
Well, the thing about it is, he's had 104 weeks of cartooning at my behest to hone his skills.
If for anybody that doesn't know, and the way I bash myself, you know, in relation to my art, or that we bash each other, as Eddie says this, there's pages that I'm redrawing. I was sitting in the living room and I was doing some inking and I was talking to my wife and I was looking at the original page and I'm drawing the new page and I actually got mad at my wife because she helped me print those originally and I'm like, why would you ever let me print this in public? This is horrible. This is just, and as I'm drawing, I was like, this book is just stupid.
Why didn't someone tell me? But we tried. We tried.
Like, no wonder I'm not Chris Fulton.
Oh, wow.
This is like Cole that shunned me and didn't discover me.
Okay. Oh, so, man. Yeah, look for Keepers of the Dawn. Look for Bobby Blakey. Look for Eddie Medina at various comic conventions. Eddie, where can we find out about where you're going to be next? Because you're starting to be a lot of places.
I am. I'm ramping up the convention appearances. I'm redoing my website. It's been under construction now for like 4 years.
It sounds like something I would do. What the hell?
Like literally,
that's
like
my shtick. Leave me.
I've been saying that ever since I started podcasting. Like the first, you go back to the very first one. You asked me to plug my website. I was like, well, it's under construction, but no. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and occasionally Twitter, I suppose. And I am also like Bobby, you know, about to come out with some comic books myself.
Whee.
And so, yeah, me and Bobby might be hitting the con circuit pretty heavily together.
But I do want to point out that unlike Bobby, you can draw women that look like
exactly
that look like women, not really ugly men.
Well, my women, when I draw my women, they look like eggs.
So, oh, interesting.
And that's a copyright infringement, so you will be receiving a cease and desist.
But they have soft
boobs. From Steve Sansweet.
From Chris Fulton.
Okay. So you can find this show and many others, of course, at chrisfulton.com. No, wait. At thejediculturalUniverse.com.
This has to be shared on his page.
Yes,
saying.
Indeed. We'll definitely share it on his page.
He's like, immediately
Chris, you were on the show finally without knowing it.
Hold on.
He immediately unfriend all of us afterwards.
Yeah. I just want to point out, for anybody that doesn't know who Chris Fulton is, if you don't, that means Cole didn't do his job, which is why he doesn't acknowledge Cole anymore. He is an amazing artist. You should check his stuff out if you haven't. He does some really cool stuff. His Predator and Alien stuff are awesome.
Oh, yeah.
They are, and despite the fact that I didn't discover him, it's nonetheless very amazing to see his work and to see the body of work grow every year.
He's an official artist for Creepypasta. And that stuff, man, the stuff he does for them is unbelievable.
I love Creepypasta.
I like
pasta. Oh, yeah. With the light vinaigrette.
I just like pasta at this point.
Yeah, I got a carb load, that's all. So, you can, look for Eddie and myself on the Rancor Pit Live every other Sunday on deepelemonair.com.
Which, remember, we're changing the name to We Love the 501st.
Oh, that's right. We Love the 501st live. Yeah.
I'll put in a good word for you at our next meeting.
No, trust me. We need all the help we can get.
And then your honorary membership's going to get revoked.
Ain't nobody taking this for me.
It's like, what, Cole? Didn't he discover Chris Fulton or Clancher?
This is the whole reason I've been training to fight all my... Nobody is taking this from me.
That's right. It's all... Now it means something. And you can also find Hey Kids Comics Live there as well. On the second Saturday of every month, you can write to us at jcumail@yahoo.com. Occasional tweets when I get around to it on Twitter @TheJediCultUniverse, and we're working on getting some more stuff up on the YouTube channel, but I'm not going to say much on that just yet because it may be a little while. And with that, we will be back in 2 weeks with this show, with more simple tricks and nonsense. And thank you again to our guest, Chris Fulton.
You're welcome, guys. Thanks, Cole, for giving me a career.
And, of course, the incomparable, the amazing, the unmountable Bobby Blakey.
Hello.
Who will soon be returning to his and Catherine's show. As a new season, as it were. I got this trick from Eddie. A new season of What'd You Think will be beginning very soon.